Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. It's Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ebro in the Morning, Laura Stiles, Rosenberg. Give it up for Samara Joy.
Yeah.
The BX is home, but she's also a Grammy Award winner.
That's
now.
Right. Yay. Your best new artist.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I can hardly believe it.
What was that night like? Take us through that night for Samara Joy.
Oh, gosh. Well, it was a full-blown day. Like, I performed at the Grammy premiere ceremony, and then I won the first one. Which was like, I was ugly crying the whole time. They were like, okay,
oh, so wait, you won more than one Grammy.
I won two. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What was the first one, like jazz album?
The first one, yeah, it was for best jazz vocal album.
Nice.
And they were like, okay, so we want to take a picture with you. I was like, I'm going to need about 5 minutes before before I'm seen by anyone. But yeah, I was walking the red carpet and it was so packed out. Like Snow Allegra was right in front of me. And then Mary J. Blige was right next to me. I shook hands with The Rock and Megan Fox was over here. I was like, all of these people are real. Like I could not believe it. It was crazy. And sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I sat at the table. My little brother was my date. We were next to Toby and Wigway. We were next to Pharrell. I remember seeing Taylor Swift dancing. SZA, Beyonce came in. And on her way out, after the awards were over, she told me congratulations.
Oh, like, man.
Pack it up.
That's it. I did it all now.
And because you're like a jazz artist, mm-hmm. I have to imagine that your excitement around seeing these people, like if we were to interview a hip hop artist,
yeah.
You know, they might in the first 6 months of their career meet
everybody.
So many people.
Yeah.
I'm guessing for you, a lot of these people, it's the first time you were ever in a circle with them.
I was like, what? I would never, because the Grammys, like I grew up watching it. I grew up watching it for fun, seeing the performances, but it always felt so distant from my world. It's just like, okay, you know, that's there and we're here. So like for that, you know, those worlds to combine, you know, and me be surrounded by all of these stars. I was like, this is overwhelming.
And the best new artist nominees, y'all get a good table.
Yeah.
You weren't right some in front. Random.
You're in the front. Grammys does that well for the new artists, right?
Mm-hmm. We were right in the mix. And all the new artists, we were all like on like two or three tables together. You know, so Lotto was there, Anita, Omar Apollo. And we were all just having fun because it was a lot of events leading up to the Grammys too. So I got to like hang, you know, and meet and talk. You know, Ice Spice, she told me congratulations. I was like,
She's from the BX too.
She's from the BX. And we went to the same college.
Y'all went to the same college?
SUNY Purchase.
Wow.
So dope.
Y'all going to collab? You want to jump on like a BX drill record next?
I don't know. I'll be in the back, you know. I'll be a feature or whatever, you know.
That's funny. So, now, Jad, I, obviously your voice is incredible.
Thank you.
The tone, your pitch, the care that you take in the records. Your father, I was privy to his talents too, because he's a vocalist also,
mm-hmm.
as well as a bass player.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I grew up. He has a studio in the house, and we all grew up in my grandmother's house. And so he would be making music. He would be having singers over. He would be playing his own songs throughout the house. He would be playing bass in church, and so we were surrounded by music all the time. We were surrounded by his favorites, a lot of bass heavy stuff, funk and soul and gospel and things like that. So he had a big influence on me. Sometimes when I'm singing, I'm like, that's something my dad would do. And it just comes out, you know, because I've been immersed in it for so long. So,
but as jazz, as your musical expression, your creative expression, how did that come about, right? Because you're a vocalist, so
yeah.
You could have probably chose many different, you know, genres to choose to you know, get your passions out. But what made you choose jazz?
So I went to Theodore Roosevelt campus. I went to Fordham High School for the Arts in the Bronx. And towards the end of my high school career, I joined this like jazz, like elective kind of band thing. And I was like, okay, I'll learn a couple songs and we perform for the school, like talent shows or whatever. But then it came time to actually pursue like college. And I was like, I don't know if I want to take a break. I don't know. Because my mom was like, if you take a break, you probably won't go back. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you might as well just go straight from high school into college. And so I was like, okay, I know a couple jazz songs and we have to apply for 6 SUNY schools anyway. Like that was one of our requirements. And so I saw the jazz studies program at Purchase. I auditioned with the songs that I had learned in high school. I got in somehow. And then I just, even though I didn't grow up listening to jazz, I felt like SUNY Purchase was like the perfect place for me to learn and to like grow and be a sponge, even if it didn't end up being something that I pursued. I was like, this is a way for me to develop my voice. I already love to sing, and this is a music that I'm not necessarily familiar with, but I want to know about.
So at what point does it go from like, I want to try this out, to maybe your instructors and teachers being like, hey, so this is true?
Yeah, it came like the first year and a half, I was just like, yo, everybody's ahead of me. I'm like so new. I was like, I don't really fit in here. They seem to have grown up with it, and it's been a part of their lives forever. And I'm kind of the odd one out. But one of my teachers suggested I do the Sarah Vaughan vocal competition in New Jersey. And that's annual, it's international. And I didn't feel like I was ready, but I was like, you know what, if I don't apply, then there's definitely no chance of me, you know, ever participating in it. So one of my professors, he was a judge the year before. And so I auditioned the year after, and I got in and I won.
And you won the competition.
I won the competition.
Wow. What is that? What is the Sarah Vaughan vocal competition? So you choose one song, you sing multiple songs?
At the time, we had to, there were about 5,000 applicants or something like that. And we had to submit three songs in a video or MP3 form. And then if you were a finalist, then you, I found out a month before the competition that I was a finalist, one of five. And we had to prepare music a month before and go into NJPAC and rehearse. We had two rehearsals, and then the performance was on, it was a weekend, Friday and Saturday rehearsals, and then Sunday was the performance.
I feel like of all the different ways that like people compete in the world, the vocal waiting to like get on stage and be like, here we go, alone and just sing must be terrified. Do you get worked up before? Are you?
At the time, yes, I was nervous because like I was competing against people from singers from France and from Italy and from I can't remember where else. I remember France and Italy, and I was just like, I don't know what my place is here. I've only been singing it at that point for like 2.5 years, singing the genre. So I was like, I was nervous then, but I was glad for the opportunity. And since then, there's been a lot of touring. Been to Europe, been to, you know, across the states now so far. So I'm definitely working on my nerves and confidence and stuff.
So it sounds like your parents were always 100% with you taking this professionally, like being serious about it.
For sure. My mom, she's always like, sing a song for me, you know, on demand. And like I did like musicals and plays in school, and my dad would go to every single one, every field trip, anytime, you know, I had a question about music and I started playing bass because of him too, you know, he would help me out. So they've always been supportive. They love music.
Did anyone in your family take video of your parents watching the Grammys? Because I'd like to see the reaction. You took your brother,
video.
So they were home, right?
Yeah, no, they were there actually.
Oh, they were there.
We stayed in an Airbnb in Beverly Hills.
Okay, so but they did go to the show.
They went to the show. And yeah, it was like we only could have one guest at the table, and I was like, dang it.
What an experience for her little brother,
Yo, he was fitted out. He was like, listen, I can't wait to tell all my friends about this. I'm in a mansion in Beverly Hills, you know? But I have a video of them like screaming. Like, because my sister took a video of like, and the Grammy goes too. Hear them wowing. Like, it was so perfect.
Super excited at home. I was watching with my lady. But, the other piece of this, I think, too, is, you know, about representation in this music, mm-hmm. and people seeing you, mm-hmm. right? Which was also a powerful piece. I'm sure you're hearing from a lot of people who probably either, you know, didn't know about jazz in that way, young people who just aren't exposed to it, and even just people who loved it but haven't really fallen in love with anything that's new,
right?
Because there's kind of, you know, jazz can be a little, bougie, you know what I mean? And you know, you got to move a certain way. Mm-hmm. Are you being fully embraced as a young person? Because you're doing a very traditional style.
Mm-hmm. I feel it. I mean, the support over the past couple of years has been overwhelming, like from everybody, from the jazz community, from musicians that like celebrities who, you know, just found me randomly on Instagram or TikTok, and like my peers who are like, yo, you are doing something that nobody else is doing. And I feel the support. So I definitely feel wholly embraced whenever I do a show in New York, whenever I do a show in Europe. It's like the response is really the same, you know, and it's just, I think it's a testament to to a person staying in their lane, doing what they love, what they're mm-hmm. passionate about, and it coming across as authentic to people because they understand that. An audience gets that. And I could have tried, you know, to do any other genre, but there are so many great vocalists. As I saw, you know, Jasmine Sullivan was behind me. I was like, girl, gosh, I love her record right. and I love her voice. But she has strengths that I don't have. I have strengths that she doesn't have. We're just different artists, but it's beautiful that we can all be embraced and accepted in what we do individually.
Are you currently on tour right now? I saw on your Instagram, you do a lot of shows, obviously at the jazz clubs, Blue Note and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But what's the touring life like?
It's busy.
Oh, she's
it's
out here.
Busy. I'm out here.
Matter of fact, if you're watching working. Us right now, what day is today? Okay, let's see. you're going to Tennessee, a couple of shows in Palm Springs, California.
Yep, that's Sunday and Monday, and then Europe.
And then Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. And then back here in March in California.
Yep. Seattle.
New York at the Village Vanguard, April 25th through the 30th.
5 nights, 2 sets a night.
Nice.
Oh, we might have to go through.
Listen, pull up, little jazz.
Might have to pull up.
Yes. Little West Village, you know what I'm saying? Catch you a little bite. Ain't no food, though, so eat beforehand.
But it's not food.
No food.
It's drink.
Just drink.
Sit and have a beverage.
Just sit and have a beverage and enjoy the music.
Do you like playing in clubs when people can eat and drink?
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. What's going on? It's Ebro. When you're at your best, you can do amazing things, but sometimes you get overwhelmed. You're not able to do all you want to do. Well, working with a therapist can help you get closer to the best version of you. With everything I'm doing each day, I can get into my own head sometimes. I'm sure you can too. But luckily, through my life, I've learned positive coping skills and how to get myself back into a good flow. Skills like these, which you can learn with the assistance of professionals at BetterHelp. They'll empower you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking about giving therapy a try, look to BetterHelp. They are convenient, affordable, and totally online. All you got to do is fill out a questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist that you can switch at any time for no charge. If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/ebro to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ebro.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Sometimes it's tricky. Sometimes it's tricky because, and I appreciate places like Blue Note for opening the doors early enough so people can eat before and like already settle into their meal or whatever. Maybe they fall asleep during the show. I don't know. But
as opposed to like the waiters are coming out and sliding down trays.
And right. It's like, yeah, sometimes it can be a little distracting, but I think it's in those kinds of clubs, it's all kind of a part of the vibe.
Right.
It's just really relaxed and laid back and intimate. And I like both. I like clubs for the intimacy. I like performing arts centers for the grandeur. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I like both.
And when you study jazz, who are some of the icons for you?
Oh, man. Well, when I first started at SUNY Purchase, I was listening to Ella Fitzgerald, but I was listening to her for, like, the melodies of the songs. And then I would listen to Sarah Vaughan for, like, ways to, like, switch it up and impress my classmates and be like, yo, I'm not average. No, I'm kidding. But, like, I, you know, just,
no, you
like...
You got to stunt.
Because we had to learn a couple of songs together as a class every single week. And so we had to, like, all the singers in the class had to, like, you know, sing the melody. We all had to do it together and the instrumentalists would play. So yeah, Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah, but there are also, you know, contemporary jazz singers like Cecile McLaurin-Salvant and like Jasmia Horn that I really respect and admire, but Ella and Sarah were
it. Ella and Sarah.
I mean, those are good ones to
think she got the names right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you have two projects, the one self-titled, Samara Joy mm-hmm. from 2021. Linger a While is the one.
That's,
And what are the differences between those two projects? How did you grow? What did you learn?
I think with the first project, I was still a senior when I recorded it, and
I was still in college.
October 2020 when we recorded. And I think that because there wasn't necessarily an expectation of like what was going to happen with it, how successful it would be. It was a lot more laid back. It was just like, okay, we're going to record a couple songs. We're going to have a physical product that we can, you know, sell at festivals in the summertime and do these jazz festivals. Like, you know, Italy and you know all the popular spots, I guess, that bigger performers weren't doing because of COVID, because they were just like, we're not taking the risk and it's not enough money anyway. So, I think that project was more laid back. And I think the second one we recorded was after I had gotten my feet wet with touring rigorously. And so, you know, I had the chance to switch up my repertoire. I had the chance to work with different musicians. I had the chance to kind of expand my musical mind and be confident in sharing my musical ideas with people. And so it's just like another step. I definitely didn't go into the studio like, this is my Grammy winning moment.
Right, right.
But it was just kind of like another step in my development. And that's what I want every project to be, you know, is like well thought out and documenting this moment in time as me as an artist.
What's the toughest part, I think, as a jazz vocalist? It's very controlled, mm-hmm. right? Like, you guys are very controlled mm-hmm. yet conversational. Mm-hmm. But also having to articulate yourself mm-hmm. in ways that maybe other genres don't have to be as precise.
Right.
Talk about that, because you have to have a level of pitch, tone, control, mm-hmm. Enunciation, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Personality, like all of these kind of things that I'm not sure everyone has to worry about in every genre in the same ways. Mm-hmm. You have to do it all in a particular recording.
And that's honestly what I love about it, because while I so much enjoy, like, you know, seeing a Beyonce or like a Lizzo or anything like that, for me, I love the fact that it's just acoustic. Like, there's no tracks, there's no, like, you know, extra anything. Like, it's just me and a band, and
we have it's to very intimate.
With that with that setting, with that context, you know, everything is exposed. And so with like pitch, with tone, with control, it all has to be on point. But at the same time, I can't let that scare me into not being free, because it is also about like improvisation and not doing the same set every single night. I want each night to be a different experience, because there's a different audience, you know. And so I find that, you know, it makes me feel more and more comfortable being in that kind of acoustic, intimate setting, because I can express who I really am fully with no extra, you know, no extra things, I guess.
And was college, was SUNY Purchase where you really found your clarity of your voice? Mm. Or did you have it before you got to SUNY Purchase, right? Because you have I spent some time with the projects, and you have it is pure, like... Mm. Every note, everything is just so clean. Mm-hmm. How did you, obviously thousands of hours of practice, but when did you find it? When did you really lock into it?
I mean, I think being at Purchase, I would probably say around the second or third year is when I found like everything that I was learning and absorbing was clicking in my head, and it was coming out, you know, and I was able to do gigs in New York City and actually like, okay, I can count off a song, I can interpret it, I can think of ideas on the spot for how to improvise the melody, I'm prepared. I feel like it was all like the preparation building. And I started actually singing in church at Lowe's Paradise Theater on the Grand Concourse. And right. I did that for like 3 years in high school. And so that's where it was like a slow build. But I think at Purchase, when I finally, everything that I was learning and absorbing about the voice and how to produce my voice healthily without like strain, and, you know, learning about music, learning about harmony, applying that to songs, I think that's when it all started to click and make sense. And I'm still learning about it, but in like towards like, I guess the end of my sophomore year, I was like, okay, I think I got this, you know.
So you're from the Bronx. That's where hip hop's from too.
Castle Hill.
You know what I'm saying? So we got to talk raps.
Six Train.
You know what I mean?
Talk raps how?
Well, like what she likes. I'm sure she listens to hip hop. I'm sure she knows some bars.
Like, what do you listen to?
You know what I'm saying? I'm sure if we was like, yo, spit some hot fire right now, she have a, I bet she got a verse.
I knew it too. I was like, listen, if I have to freestyle today, I'm not going to be able to. I'm sorry.
No, it doesn't have to be yours.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh my gosh.
He's not going to make you rap.
Oh my gosh.
You're
going
to make you rap. Okay. But what kind of music do you listen to?
I mean, I listened to, so I wasn't really allowed to listen to secular music growing up. So I would listen to like the clean version of like Kendrick Lamar, like, you know.
That's good.
You know, like Two Chainz. Yeah. I would listen to the
clean.
There's like no lyrics left.
So basically,
left.
I couldn't like.
There's no lyrics left.
I couldn't listen to nothing. But no, I liked that. I at a point, I loved listening to like Queen Latifah and MC Light too. But I had to listen to Clean Break. Well, I would listen to like the not. I would listen to the original version.
Yeah, they're not too profane.
The original versions, you know, but like I had my little, what is it, iPod Nano or mm-hmm. something. So I had all my music on there. I don't know if I can spin anything right now.
No.
I don't know if I can.
Unless you know what I'm saying? Unless you got something. I don't know, you know
but do you spend most of your time, if you're listening to music, listening to jazz?
It's like half and half because I love, you know, I'm still like an old soul. So I love like Stevie Wonder. I love like the Isley Brothers and like Motown, Donny Hathaway. So it's a mix of everything. I don't like separating.
No, they didn't really know what the Isley Brothers was really saying in some of them songs.
No,
you know what I'm saying? They was letting that fly.
They didn't. No.
You get into talking about some of these songs, these old school records that the old heads think is clean. You're like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. What was we singing about?
Excuse me, sir?
You had my kids just like yeah. No.
I mean, listen, between the sheets, they weren't really hiding very much on them.
No, they wasn't.
They didn't understand. Baby.
But that probably got, she probably got to listen to that. Nobody said nothing.
Drifting,
that's a beautiful record.
A
See?
Yeah. Oh, man.
I mean, now, I'm sure as a jazz vocalist now, you hear how much jazz influenced
all
of that.
And it's like, it's all connected. That's why I think I was so attracted to jazz. I'm like, man, this is like the stuff I was listening to.
That's
It definitely has a different elegance, I think, when I listen to Sarah and everything like that. But It's all music. It's all about love. You know,
are people still doing scat in the jazz world?
Yes. I personally don't really.
You don't
like
have
to,
one in your. Do you have it in your arsenal if you needed to bust out a quick scat?
Like you and the trumpet player don't battle?
No. I mean, actually, I got the chance to tour with Jazz Lincoln Center with Wynton Marsalis, and we did a couple Christmas shows, and we did My Favorite Things, where me and Wynton were trading. So that was kind of cool. I was like, okay, I don't normally do this, but.
Yo, yeah, the level of subtle flex that you threw down is so crazy.
You know, it was like,
you know, when me and Wynton go back and forth, it's like magic, honestly.
Oh, she's on the level, bro.
Oh, I know.
Two albums in.
She won the Jazz Grammy.
She's only 23.
Yeah. I know. It's a good start.
Fresh out of college. Samara Joy, it's been a pleasure.
It's been a joy.
It's been a joy. Yeah. But also, too, just like so proud. Like, not only being from the BX, but also just a young person not following, I guess, what is the cool, trendy thing and doing something different and being rewarded for it.
Right.
I think it's one of the real powerful things here, right? Because you, being 23, there's a young person who's trying to figure out their way to, you know, be creative and do something hopefully different, right? Mm-hmm. And I love you for that.
Oh, man, I appreciate you.
Even though this is original black music, you know what I'm saying? Facto.
Repping it.
But we don't always, as black folks, we ain't out here, you know, making blues records.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like only a couple of artists or country records.
Right, or
anything
like that.
You know what
like
I mean? Some of that stuff is starting to happen. And I'm just happy.
Man,
just happy.
I appreciate
for you.
Y'all
happy
so much.
You.
Thank you for this.
Samara Joy, give it up one time.
Thank
Yo,
you.
Yo, we're going to play a jazz record this morning on the show.
Do it.
We got to play that joint, Can't Get Out of This Mood.
Oh, man. Goodness gracious.
That's the big tune.
That's the big one, I guess.
That's well, you don't want to play that? We tired
big
of hearing
tune.
It?
Yeah, you can. Listen, play it. I don't mind at all.
All right, well, we're playing that. Let's go. Samara Joy.
Thank you.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.